Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
All right, if you wish to follow along, turn to Romans chapter 5. God willing, this will be my last message on chapter 5. Lord willing, next Sunday we'll move on to chapter 6. Romans chapter 5. Now before I read, I'll just read verses 18 through 21. Before I read, let's remember here that Paul in this chapter has dealt with substitution and representation. And these two are equal. And it is not coincidence or luck that he mentions substitution first. The many and the all that Adam represented are dead. They are dead. The many and the all that Christ represented have been reconciled. They shall be saved by his life. Yes. And this also, verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous. Now remember, that lets us know at least two things. One, it has a guaranteed but yet future effect. Shall. That's something that's going to come to pass. But it is absolutely going to come to pass.
Amen.
Whereas by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. They're not being made sinners. They were made sinners. As a matter of fact, those that Adam represented, the many and the all that Adam represented, were conceived and in their mother's womb. And when they were born sinners.
Amen.
So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. And oh, how the offense abounds. I know that we do not see ourselves to the extent that God sees us. Because God sees us absolutely. He knows exactly what we are. He knows those righteousnesses that are filthy rags in His sight. Jack Mattis, I don't always recognize them as filthy rags in His sight. I know they're there, but Mac, I'm not always sure which one is a God-wrought righteousness in me. I don't always know it's Him working in me both the will and the do of His good pleasure, or whether it's my flesh rising up in some religious self-righteousness. Granted, there are some immoral, ungodly things that rise up, and we can recognize those for what they are. But self-righteousness is as God-hating, I'm going to say it, as child molestation. Child molestation. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That, as sin hath reigned unto death. And remember, it's not reigning unto death, because this reign's already taken place. So that when an individual is even conceived, this death reigns in that little bitty embryo. In that fetus that's in the womb, death reigns.
That's right.
That as sin hath reigned unto death, even physically speaking. Let's just think about physical death. Mm-hmm. Does God ask any man or woman for His permission to kill them?
No, sir.
No, sir. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Adam's one disobedient act brought utter ruin. It brought total depravity. It brought a condemned condition. It brought a state of sinnerhood. Christ's own personal righteousness secured justification of life and righteousness for those for whom he died, for those that he represented. And that is clearly what Paul writes in verses 18 and 19. This is not up for debate. Somebody says, well, I just don't understand it that way. Then you understand it wrongly. Because again, this book is not written in code. This book was written in Hebrew, some of it Chaldean, some of it in Greek. And it's been translated into clear, plain English for us. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. That's all that Adam represented. That's where they are.
Yes, sir.
Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men. That's all that Christ represented unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. It's not that human beings cannot comprehend the language. They hate the concept. They hate the truth of it. That's the problem. Somebody says, I can't understand election. Yes, you can. You can understand it. You just hate it. Well, just predestination, all that's over my head. No, it is not. No, you just despise the God who did the predestinating.
Exactly.
Man's spiritual deadness is not an inability to physically perceive or to studiously understand. It's the fact that they are so depraved and utterly ruined that we hate the truth of God. And you are right, Joe. This book is right. Men will not have Jesus Christ to reign over them.
That's right.
But he does.
Amen.
Now, on top of that, God gave the law that sin might be exposed to the brim, shown by the law's many do's and don'ts. And it's many do's and don'ts. And the law shows as to how much sinfulness men and women have. The law exposes us for what we are. And the law today still exposes my flesh for what it is.
You're right.
For what it is. Our cups, when it comes to this Adamic state, our cups froth over.
Yeah.
It's not some people are a little dead and some people are a whole lot dead. We're all dead, dead, dead.
Yeah.
Spiritually speaking, we're as dead as we can be.
Yeah.
Somebody says, but do you really believe people are totally depraved? Yeah, totally. Absolutely depraved. Absolutely depraved. But where this sin frothed over, God's grace flash flooded the same cup. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded.
Yes, that's right.
Right in the same place. You see what I'm saying? In the same cup, in the same stream, if you will. I'm using metaphors, of course. But where sin abounded, right there is where grace did much more abound.
Amen.
That's right.
This religious world doesn't seem to comprehend that. They think that somehow sin and grace are these totally two opposite things.
Yeah.
But they're not.
Exactly.
But they're not. So again, I say God's grace, right where our cups frothed over, God's grace flash flooded that same cup. It washed all the debris away. Even though I cannot comprehend that now mentally and see that in myself physically. Nevertheless, it did. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace will much more abound. Is that what it says?
No,
it does not, does it? Grace did.
Amen.
That's a past act. You see, that's simple enough. You don't have to be an English scholar to understand that. But you do have to be regenerate to love it. You do have to be regenerate to believe it. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. And let me tell you, when you read, go back and read God's law. If it don't expose your flesh to you, then you're still under that sentence of death. You're under that sentence of death. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The sin wrought sins, and they're called many offenses, right? Many offenses. That's what Paul says here in verse 16. The sin wrought sins. And oh, if God ever begins to open a man or a woman's eyes to see that, I don't become a sinner when I do something wrong. I do things wrong because I am a sinner.
Amen.
My fountain is fouled.
Yeah.
My fountain is bad.
That's it.
You know, my whole cup is full of the filth of the flesh. There are some good people in this world when you compare men to men and women to women. But compared to God's holy law, there is none good. No, not one. There is none righteous. There is none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Not one. All these sin-wrought sins, these many offenses, are flood-cleansed. How? That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that's my introduction for this morning. My title and my subject is this, Reigning Grace. Reigning Grace. I just have 2 points. Reigning grace. But before I begin the first point, let me say this. Many people give lip service to this phrase. But they do not bow to and believe the reality behind this phrase. They may quote the word and then they go on to talk about sinning away your day of grace.
Yeah.
How can you do that?
Exactly.
If sin, not if, but I mean it in the sense of it's real. Since, let me put it that way, since sin abounded, and grace much more abounded. That is, it super abounded. I knew that phrase, Joe, back when I was in free will Arminianism. But they never really taught how it super abounded. They just loved the phrase. Well, I guess it was once saved, always saved. So at least that's one way it super abounds. I don't want to get off on that. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound.
Amen.
So again, my subject and title, Reigning Grace. But here's my first point. What does reign mean? It means this. It means absolute dominion.
Yes.
It means absolute control.
Yes.
It means absolute authority. Otherwise, it is not reigning. Men and women may partially reign in this world, but God doesn't partially reign because God is not a partial God.
Exactly.
He's not God some of the time. He is God eternally.
Amen.
There never was a time that He was not reigning, is reigning, and shall reign. What does reign mean? Again, absolute dominion, absolute control, absolute authority, absolute might. Sin reigned unto death. How so? I'm just going to read it. You don't have to turn to it. If you wish, that's fine. But here's how sin reigned unto death. Ephesians 2, verse 1, and you have it quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were not dying. We were not nigh unto death. Dead. Dead. And you have it quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Wherein in time past ye walked. So this affected, the deadness caused the walk.
Yes, sir.
But notice, it's not a deadness in the sense of neutrality. It is a deadness in the sense of active rebellion and disobedience against God.
Exactly.
You see? Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. We were under demonic influence.
Yes, sir.
Somebody, let me tell you something. Somebody says, which is worse, Satan or a sinner? Neither. Neither.
You're right.
You remember the guy that was in the synagogue and he was possessed with a demon? And he'd been going to that synagogue for years. When Jesus Christ came to the synagogue, that demon cried out in that man, go away, we'll have nothing to do with you. Was that the demon speaking or the man? It was both. It was both. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, or as our way of life in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children that hated God, just like everybody else did.
Yes, sir.
He's saying this even to a people that's been quickened. Even to a people who are elect, predestinated, and redeemed. But this is what you're like in Adam.
Yeah. Amen.
And we love to have it so.
Yeah.
Oh, we may clean up the outer part of the cup. Right? But inside, we're still full of what? Our Lord said. Dead men's bones.
Right.
We know that is metaphorical. But what's he saying? Inside is nothing but a dead corpse toward God.
Amen.
But very active toward self.
There you go. Yeah.
Self.
That's right.
That's what it means. Here's another one. I mentioned a few of these. If you wish to follow, look at it, Romans 3. We've looked at this recently, Romans 3. Verse 9, what then? Are we better than they? Is the Jew better than the Gentile? No. Not in any way. The Jew had advantage. But they were not better. Mac, they were not better.
That's right.
What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin.
Amen.
That is, sin reigns on them. Sin reigns on them. As it is written, and this is no new thing, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And somebody says, well, that's before I'm saved. Prove that.
Yeah, there you go.
Prove that.
Yeah.
In my flesh still dwells what? No good thing.
Amen.
There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. That's when you lump us all together, we still are what? Well, wouldn't you find just all of our best deeds together? We put us all together. Won't there, isn't there just something that God looks at and adores? No.
No. That's right.
No. No, they're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. As a matter of fact, one of the writers of the Old Testament put it this way. There's not a just man upon the face of the earth. Now, he's not saying there's no just men. There are some men who are just. Justified by God, justified in Christ, justified by faith. But there's not a just man upon the face of the earth that doeth good and sinneth not.
Amen.
Even when we do good, being wrought upon by God, it is still mixed with sin.
Yeah.
Because it's coming from us. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Now, I know in our day and age, I don't know that we can relate to this like people back then probably could. Today we embalm bodies or we cremate bodies or whatever, you know, and you don't really smell the effect. And we get them in the ground. If we do embalm, we get them in the ground before the real effect starts to take place. I am told within 24 hours the body is beginning to rot and stink. Now, I don't know how, you know, that may vary at times. I don't know. But their throat is what? An open sepulcher. That is, what we say is full of rot and filth.
You're right.
He You see, even when we read the Bible, everything done apart from faith is what? Sin. Even the plowing of the wicked is what?
Sin.
Amen. Now how could that be? He's feeding his family. That's got to be good. It is among men. But not before God. It brings no merit before God. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Why? Because it's all flowing from down in here. The real us. That desperately wicked heart.
Yes, sir.
The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Now listen to me. I'm not a prophet, but I do know this. With 37 years of experience in trying to preach the gospel and almost 60 years of experience of being in this flesh, God is lifting His restraint in this country. He's lifting His restraint in this country. And rebellion and self-will rules amongst men in their hearts. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. And that way of peace is a person.
Yes, sir.
There is no, oh, here it is. There is no fear of God before their eyes.
Amen.
We're not talking about just the fear of hell. Now, there are a lot of people who don't believe that hell exists. They're just very badly misinformed in their own imaginations. But this ain't fearing hell. This is fearing God.
Amen.
I mean, even Christ told His disciples, don't fear men. All they can do is kill your body. But you better fear God. Because He can destroy both your body and your soul in hell.
Amen.
Hell ain't the thing to be feared. God is to be feared. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and of wisdom.
Amen.
The fear of the Lord. So look at it. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. And I remember Earl said it, and he's probably the first person I ever heard say it. If somebody else said it, I was blind to it. If I heard somebody else say it before Earl said it, he said, this, what the law tells us to do is shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Sin reigned, and that's how it reigns, completely. Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
But now see the channel. Even so, grace reigns.
Amen.
And it does so in a super abounding way.
Yes, sir.
It hinges on, it is hinged upon, and is still hinged upon one man. One man, not your decisions, not my decisions, not our will, His will. His will. Our will take us to hell. That's where our will lead us. The Scripture doesn't call it free will, it calls it self-will. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not encouraging you to watch all these other people on TV, but if you watch these other people on TV, they rarely ever mention self-will. Because somehow that would have to be different from free will. So a man must have two wills.
Yeah.
And they don't even want to deal with that, do they?
No,
man's so-called free will is nothing but self-will.
Right.
It is self-will wrapped up in emotional language and in religious phrases. No, even so might grace reign. How? Look. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign. And here's what it hinges upon. Now, you won't talk about the word might, but it hinges upon this. Through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, either you believe Jesus Christ came and did what God sent Him to do, or you believe He's a failure. It's one or the other.
Amen.
It's one or the other. And I'm going to put it this way. And if there's better words, I understand that. It's just my lack of vocabulary and mental capacity. I want us to see the channel. I want us to see the goal. And I want us to see the only reason or merit or cause of grace reigning. First of all, the channel is what? Through righteousness. But it has nothing to do with our righteousness. That's the context. Nothing to do with our righteousness. Well, don't we have to receive it? Yeah. But you will if Christ reconciled you when He died.
Yes, sir.
You will. Don't we receive the free gift? Yes, we do receive. It's like I talk like this. No. And that's good. I mean, physically, that's good. But God's people love to receive the truth.
Amen.
God's people enjoy receiving Jesus Christ. When I was in religion, it's like, well, I'm supposed to do this. You ever been there? And you know, you knew down in here you wanted to be somewhere else and you wanted to be doing something else, but I got to put on a good show. And they're all like that. And we were just like that outside of Jesus Christ. We might have even been under Calvinism.
Yeah.
But it's still, Calvinism don't save you.
Exactly.
Even so, by grace reign, through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the channel, through righteousness. But it is always His righteousness. But see the goal, unto eternal life.
Yeah.
Through righteousness unto eternal life. That's the goal. But eternal life is not just getting to go to heaven. Christ said, and this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent.
Amen.
But nobody today, other than an individual here or there that God breathes life upon, nobody today wants to know who the true and living God is. They think they already know. They know enough about God to be a theologian when it comes to God. But none of us know God, the true and living God, by nature. Eternal life is knowing the only true God, but it's more than that. And Jesus Christ, whom the eternal living God sent.
Amen.
Eternal life is not just about getting to go to heaven one day. When you talk to religious people, this happened to Penny the other day, and I won't go into the details. And you talk about you might die before something takes place. We hope to see you here. Well, I will, you know, if I'm alive. Oh, don't say that. If you're a believer, why not?
You're right.
If God killed me dead right now.
Yeah.
And I mean, I have to be honest with you. I'd rather die, just fall over with a heart attack, dead in a doornail, sitting here preaching the glory of Christ, than I would be sitting at home watching TV and be thinking some kind of stupid stuff sometimes I think about. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.